Well, good morning. It's good to be back together again. Amen. I don't know what your week was like, but hopefully it was a good week. Hopefully you had a good week. Hopefully that you saw God move last week. And as we fastly approach the holiday season, right, everybody's starting to feel that pressure come on. So as we just pause this morning and dive back into Jonah, let's just bow our hearts and pray real quick before we jump in. How about that? Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for how you are so real with us, and I just love the authenticity of your word. You don't pull punches. You don't hold things back from us. You just speak truthfully to us, and I just pray that you would do that today. Speak honestly and truthfully to our hearts. And Lord, thank you that we have a God that we can call upon anytime, anywhere, from any place. And it's in Jesus' name that we all pray. Amen. So last week we jumped off into Jonah, and we kind of learned a few things about Jonah. Jonah wasn't really, you know, is not really that great of a guy. He's a prophet of God, right? He's one of God's prophets. So he knows God. He serves God, and then yet God gives him a challenge, right? Like sometimes God challenges us in our faith, right? Jonah was great serving in his homeland, around his own people, had no problem speaking the word of the Lord. Anything God wanted said, Jonah was willing to say it in the comfort of his own country, in the comfort of his own people, right? But God challenges Jonah. For whatever reason, we don't know, the scriptures are silent about it, but God comes to Jonah and says in chapter 1, let's go back for a minute, the Lord gave this message to Jonah of Amittai, get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are, right? So God gives this message to Jonah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your friends. And I want you to go to Nineveh, your number one enemy, the people on the planet that you hate the most. I want you to go to them, and I want you to tell them that they're evil. I have seen it. And I'm going to act upon their evil, but I'm going to extend my mercy and my grace to them. And Jonah's like, no, right? I'm not doing it. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. And Jonah is out of there, right? All of chapter 1, he's on the run. That's what we talked about last week. The prophet, the running prophet. This week we come across the praying prophet. We see Jonah kind of gets caught, right? It starts in chapter 2, verse 1. I love how it starts. I'm preaching from the NLT. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish, right? And I love that it starts off that way. Then Jonah prayed, right? Then Jonah prayed. What does that mean? Well, it means he prayed after all the times he didn't pray. All of chapter 1, there was time after time after time after time. This man of God could have called upon his God, could have communicated with God, and he didn't do it. Not once, right? When God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach to them. He could have prayed then, right? We've seen other people in the scriptures pray with God and talk to God. We see Moses. Moses in the Old Testament argues with God at some point in time, right? There's a point in time when God said, Moses, I want you to get out of the way. I'm done with these people. I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth, and I'm going to start a new nation through you. And Moses didn't just say, all right, sounds good to me, Lord, let's do it, right? No. Moses steps before God and says, wait a second, God, don't do that, right? You don't want to do that, right? He intercedes on behalf of the people, right? We don't see this with Jonah. Jonah doesn't intercede on behalf of Nineveh or the people in Nineveh. He doesn't want to, right? So he doesn't pray for them then. He doesn't pray when he takes off to go to Joppa. He doesn't pray where he should go. When he gets down there to the boat, does he stop and pray before he gets on that boat? Now, I'm running from God. Maybe I should stop and just talk to the Lord about this. Maybe this isn't a great idea. No, He is flat out in rebellion. I'm out of here. I'm getting on this boat. Matter of fact, in chapter 1, it says he even bragged to the sailors on the ship that he was running from God. They get out on that ocean. What happens? Right? God sends a storm. Right? You do realize that when we run from God, right? The back in the older days, maybe some of you have heard this term. It used to be a term that was thrown around called the hounds of heaven, right? That when you run from God, God releases the hounds from heaven to pursue you. And that's exactly what we see in chapter 1 of Jonah, right? He runs from God and God comes after him, right? You know God will pursue you, right? Even sometimes when we're not pursuing him, God comes after us. Amen? I don't know about you, that can be scary, right? But I'm also thankful that God does that. God just doesn't leave us to ourselves. God will do everything within his power. You can bank on that. Whether it's you, whether it's a loved one that you've been praying for, God will do everything in his power to pursue them, right? So Jonah doesn't pray when he gets down there to the ship. He doesn't pray when God releases this storm. He doesn't pray. I mean, he's got all these sailors on the boat. He doesn't know these guys, but he doesn't even care enough about them to pray and ask God to cease the storm. He has an opportunity to. He doesn't do it. What's he do? He goes downstairs in the bottom of the boat, and he doesn't go down there to create a little prayer chapel and speak to God. No, he goes to sleep. I'm good. I don't care what's going on up there. I'm sleeping. When they come down to wake him up, the captain says, man, call upon your God that maybe this will stop. Does Jonah pray then? No. I mean, this dude is in flat-out rebellion. Nothing is going to change this man's heart. He comes up, he talks to the other sailors, and he tells them that he needs to be, you know, it's my fault. He does at least take ownership of it. Hey, look, this storm's come upon you because of me. Take me and cast me into the ocean, and God will stop the storm. Another opportunity he could have prayed. He could have just stopped then and said, God, you're right. I'm wrong. Just please stop the storm. We'll turn the boat around. They can take me back. I'll go to Nineveh. But he doesn't do that. He'd rather be chunked into the ocean. In other words, Jonah just comes to the point, I would rather die, God, than do what you've asked me to do. Right? Now, I know none of you have ever been in that position, right? God has come upon you. God's moved upon your heart to do something. And you're like, God, I would rather die than do that, right? We see it in the church all the time, right? How many times have people stood up, hey, we need children's workers. And you sit back there like Jonah, I'm running. I am out of here. Not me, Lord, right? I can't do it. Not even for 30 minutes. Nope, not going to do it. Not for an hour, not going to do it, right? Hey, we're going to go out and do some witnessing today. Or we're going to do this. Nope, not me, Lord. I can't do that. Hey, Pastor, you're the preacher. That's your job. We pay you to do. We're not going to do that, right? Let's just be honest. I've been the person in the seat too, right? I've had those feelings in my heart, right? I'm not doing it. God, I know that's what you want me to do, but I'm not doing it. When God called me to go into full-time ministry, there was a part of me that was like, nope, I'm not doing it. I didn't grow up in church, but I've seen enough. I don't want to do it. My wife, I'm just being honest here, right? And so my wife was like, when I said, hey, I think God's called me into ministry, that was literally her words. Nope, I don't want to be a preacher's wife. Nope. But God released the hounds of heaven, and here we are. So God will release those hounds of heaven on us, right? So Jonah's in flat-out rebellion. That's why when we get to chapter 2, that's why he says it. Then Jonah prayed. Finally, Jonah prayed. Why? What happened? Well, we saw at the end of chapter 1, verse 17, it says, now the Lord had arranged a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside that fish for 3 days and 3 nights, and then Jonah prayed. It has to come to that extent to get Jonah to humble himself and pray. So he goes on to verse 2. It says, he started his prayer. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. So when is a good time for us to pray? Right? We all know when is it. Come on. We all know when a good time to pray, because most of us in here, this is when we pray, when we're in trouble. Right? Come on. Don't get all sanctified on me. I know. Right? We all do it. Man, when life is going good, we're not thinking about praying. Right? I got this under control. Right? I got this. This is great. But let some trouble come, and we're praying. Right? Let a doctor's report come in that's not positive. All right? Let unexpected bills come in that you don't have the money to cover. Right? And we're praying, oh God, please help me. Right? You see those lights behind you, right? And I'm not talking about the fire truck and the ambulance. I'm talking about the other guys, right? Back to blue, right? But you ain't thinking back to blue when you see them lights, right? You're praying, oh God, I can't get a ticket. Please, God, I can't afford a ticket, right? Those are times we're praying. But man, listen, we just went through Hebrews and we went through James. We have this awesome God who has now created a way that you and I can boldly approach the throne of grace anytime, any place, anywhere, and receive help in our time of trouble, right? But what about when it's not our time of trouble? When you wake up tomorrow morning, when you woke up this morning, did you thank God for waking up? Did you even consider the fact that that's really God's the one who wakes you up? You can say, I set my alarm clock. Okay, whatever. But listen, the fact that you woke up when that alarm clock went off, that's God. You don't control your respirations right now. You can stop them if you want right now. Go ahead and hold your breath. We'll watch, right? But guess what happens once you pass out? You start breathing again, right? You're going to turn blue. We're all going to look at you. We're all going to be like, boy, any second now. They're going down. Boop. Oh, okay, they're breathing again, right? So you can fight against that if you want to, but God's the one who gives you breath in your lungs. God's the one right now who's controlling your heartbeat. Every one of us in this room, our heart is ba-boom, 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 and we got, not a one of us in this room is controlling that. God, our sovereign Father in heaven, is the one who controls that. And if he snapped his fingers right now, any one of us could be in his presence. Amen? That's the awesome God we serve, and that God tells us that we can approach him because of Jesus anytime, any place, anywhere. I love in Psalm 130, verse 1, it says, from the depths of despair, O Lord, I call to you for help. In Psalm 69, verses 1 and 2, it says, save me, O God, from the floodwaters, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold. I am in deep water, and the floods overwhelm me, right? But even there, we can call out to God. It's always a good time to pray. Prayer does a lot for us. Prayer links us to God, right? This is why we shouldn't just pray when we're in trouble, but man, we should pray all the time. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Now, I'm not recommending that you walk around with your eyes closed and your hands folded all day long praying. But listen, you don't have to have your eyes closed and hands folded to speak to God. You don't even have to move your mouth. You can speak to him in your heart, right? You can speak to him while you're driving. You can speak to him on your way to work or before you go to bed. It links us to God. And it also helps declutter our minds from all the garbage and stuff that we experience every single day. Right? One of the best times to pray is, for me, I know for sure that I stop and pause and pray before I go into work every day. I drive to Seaford, I park in the parking lot, I sit there on purpose for a good 5 or 10 minutes and speak to the Lord, because one, I have no idea the things that I'm going to see that day, right? And I just need God's help, right? And listen, when you go to work, you don't have to have a crazy job, just any job. You're going to have to interact with people. You're going to have to interact with your boss. You're going to have things that happen during that day. Do you ever just take time before you walk in? God, help me. Help me. Whatever it is your job is, I need your help today. Whether it's going to school for teens, hey, I need your help today. I need your help to study, to learn, to interact the way I'm supposed to. Prayer links us together with God. I love what, and it's on the front of your bulletin, what Leonard Ravenhill said. Prayer produces courage and joy to do God's will, even if tears are shed while doing it. And I thought that was a perfect way to describe Jonah, right? Prayer produces courage in us and joy to do what God asks us to do, even if that process is painful for us. God meets us. Now, God does put some conditions. I believe any one of us at any time can call upon the Lord. But there is also true that God, the scriptures teach that God hears the prayer of his people, right? So the only prayer that God hears from somebody who's not a Christian is a prayer of repentance, right? Because everybody says they pray, right? I mean, you could go poll everybody. Everybody says, oh, they pray. I pray, right? But prayer that God hears from those who don't know him, the only prayer he hears is the prayer of unrepentance, or the prayer of repentance, right? And there's conditions for that, right? 2 Chronicles 7:14, I know most of you are familiar with this passage, maybe. It says this, then if my God speaking himself says, then if my people who are called by my name, right? Who? God's people, right? Called by God's name, right? Those who are who have put their hope and trust in him, right? Who are called by my name will, the first condition, humble themselves, right? In other words, we got to admit we got problems, right? Amen? Okay. Maybe I'm the only one that's got a problem. I don't know. All right? But we have to admit we have a problem, right? We have to humble ourselves. And it's not just trouble. But man, that's what I'm saying. We don't pause and pray to God when things are going well. You know why? It's called pride. That's why we don't pray when things are going well. Because we think we got under control. Hey man, life is good right now. I ain't got no issues. Hey, the kids are behaving. Job's going well. Bills are getting paid. Cars are running. Woohoo! I got this under control, right? Great time to say, Lord, I am so unworthy of the good things you give me. I'm so unworthy. You know, thank you for kids that, at least for the moment, are listening to me, right? Thank you for transportation that I can get to. I can pretty much go wherever I want to. I'm so blessed, God. I got a job that pays my bills. You've given me all of that, and I just want to thank you, right? So it requires humility for us to do that. The fact that we don't pray shows how much an issue pride is for us as people. Humble yourselves and pray and seek my face, right? God says a requirement for us to have prayer answered is to seek God's face. And then, right, turn from your wicked ways, right? We have to do an inventory. Lord, is there any way in my life that I've been sinning against you? Is there ways? And then confess those things to him, right? Then it says, when we have humbled ourselves, we pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. God says this, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer that's made in this place, right? So there are conditions to prayer. And those are some of those conditions. And we see that. And so we see that Jonah prays, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble. And he answered me. It's like Jonah's shocked, right, that he answered him. And he should be because he was flat out in rebellion. I called to you from the land of the dead. And Lord, you heard me. Right? No matter where you're at, no matter what situation you may find yourself in, whether you're in a police station or the back of a police car, or whether you're in a hospital room, or whether you're in in the middle of a terrible accident, it doesn't matter where we are at, we can call upon the Lord from there. Amen? We can call upon his name. We can seek his face. He says this, Jonah realizes the situation he's in. It's in his communication with God that he realizes, I'm in this place because of God. You threw me into the ocean depths. So Jonah realizes, man, I'm in the water sinking because God, you put me here right now. You've allowed this to happen in my life. You threw me into the ocean's depths and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried, listen, I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves, right? Who created the storm again? God did, right? Maybe right now God's creating a storm in your life and you feel like, man, you're getting pummeled. I don't know about you, but I love the ocean. I love going to the beach. But man, I have been caught in some rough surf a couple times. And I'm telling you what, that's scary, right? You go out there, and it's not so much bad for me sometimes, but then I had kids, and of course, because I'm out in the water, all of my kids were like, Dad, take us out in the water. We want to go further, right? And I'm like, yeah. But then I realized I got this little person that I'm responsible for, and I'm taking them out there, and then next thing you know, here comes a big wave. Well, you know, big for around here, right? But it big enough to even a little wave around here, big enough to knock you down, right? And you try to embrace that wave with them, and they think, man, you're having the time of your life. And then you come up for air, and you turn around, and here comes another one. And you're like, uh-oh. And I don't know about you, but man, my heart sinks. I'm like, okay, I got to take a deep breath. I'm trying to tell them, take a deep breath. And really, the whole time, I'm terrified. I'm really not terrified for me, but I'm terrified if I drop them, they're gone, right? It's terrifying. So imagine Jonah being tossed into that stormy ocean, right? I mean, and here he is. The waves just keep coming. And the way Jonah describes it is, these are your waves. Your stormy sea keeps coming over top of me. I'm being pounded over and over and over again by you, Lord. The hound of heaven is putting a pretty good beating on Jonah. And then he says this in verse 4. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more towards your holy temple. Right? Jonah's in the midst of this, and he's thinking, man, this is over for me. Man, I'm here because God has placed me here, and this isn't a good place for me. But God put me in this spot, and I'm gonna have hope in him yet again and call out to him from in his holy temple. You know, Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for the good of those who are called by God and called according to his purpose, right? So even the bad things that come in our life, right? Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't explain those things. You know, I always find it interesting that a lot of times people expect me to have an answer for why bad things happen to good people or why bad things happen to people, period. And I can't explain that, right? I don't know. Because all I know is what the Bible says, that Jesus himself said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But, this is one of the great buts in the Bible, but take hope in me, Jesus said, because I overcame the world. Listen, I know you're going to have issues in this world. You're going to have trouble. Things are going to happen, right? People are going to get sick. People are going to die. People are going to be taken way too soon. Right? And some people are just going to be mean and crude and terrible to each other. But listen, Jesus says, get your eyes off of that and put your eyes on me. I've overcome the world. You stay focused on me. Right? We got to have our hope and our trust in God. No matter what situation that you and I find ourselves in, we can call out to this sovereign Lord who created the heavens and the earth and the oceans that Jonah finds himself in. And God hears us no matter where we call from. Amen? That should be encouraging to you and me, right? He goes on here and he says, I sank beneath the waves. The waters closed over me, right? Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth whose gates locked shut forever. So Jonah's describing this. See, we have this idea in our minds, right? And a lot of it comes from our children's Bibles, right? That in the moment that Jonah was hit that water, that fish came up and swallowed him up. But Jonah himself tells us that's not the case. He was thrown in that water and he sank all the way down to the bottom of the ocean, right? Can you imagine that? And the whole time, Jonah is reliving this whole I'm running from God, man, I'm in great trouble, right? Can you just, can we put ourselves with Jonah? Imagine yourself sinking in the ocean. You're wanting to come up, but you can't. It's just pulling you all the way down. He says that he sank all the way to the roots of the mountains is the way Jonah describes it. I find it interesting, and I did some research just to find out what is the deepest part of the ocean that we've measured so far, and over on the other side of the world between Japan and Papua New Guinea is a place called the Mariana Trench, and it is recorded to be the, at this point in time, the deepest that we've ever measured, 36,000 feet below sea level, right? And that's how Jonah's describing this. Listen, we see mountains, right? And Jonah's saying, I went all the way down to where the roots of the mountains are, the bottom of the ocean, right? So Jonah is in trouble, right? Amen? I mean, that would be trouble. He didn't sink 5 feet, 10 feet. He's way down. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains, he said. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates locked shut forever. Jonah's saying, it was over for me. There was no hope. There's no way I'm swimming to the top. I'm done. And then we have another great but the Lord in the Bible. But you, O Lord my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. This is the moment that the fish comes into the story, right? Jonah sinks to the bottom of the ocean, and he's like, it is over. I am done. I thought I wanted to die. I don't really want to die. How did I do this? And God sends that fish to swallow Jonah up, right? What we would think maybe was punishment. I don't know about you, but I would not enjoy being inside the belly of a fish for that long, right? 30 seconds, and I'm ready to come out, right? I don't like enclosed spaces, let alone the smell. Right? I'm sure it was not a pleasant place to be. But Jonah says, he describes it as not being punishment, but God rescuing him. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. When there was no other way for Jonah to escape the depths of the ocean, God sends a fish to rescue Jonah. And he pulls him up out of the bottom of the ocean. My earnest prayer, then he goes on to say this, he says, as my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord. Right? Man, that's powerful. As my life was slipping away, Jonah said, I remembered the Lord, and I called upon him. I don't know about you, but in my own story, I can remember, as I said, I didn't grow up in the church. I came to know Jesus in my early 20s, and I can remember that point in my life when I felt like Jonah, that I could literally see my life slipping away, right? I was lost. I was depressed. I had just buried my mom, and I was a mess. And for me, I was done. Man, this world had nothing. I didn't want anything to do with it. I was just so angry and so bitter and so hurt that I might as well have been trapped inside of a fish, because that's how I felt, trapped in just complete darkness all the time. But God snatched me from the pit and pulled me out. It was only God, right? People had been praying for me. I had people asking me to come to church, people that knew me, that knew I was struggling. People asked me to come to church. I was going the other way. Man, I don't want nothing to do with church. I don't need that. I'm a good person, right? I got this under control. I didn't have it under control. And wherever it is that you're at right now in your life, whatever's going on, whatever situations you're facing, you don't have it under control. As much as you'd like to think that you do, you don't. God is the one who's controlling it. Amen? And he's controlling everything. And we must turn to him. Jonah says, "And as my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple." And then he says this statement in verse 8, those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's promises. In other words, Jonah's saying, listen, man, when my life was slipping away, man, I cried out to God earnestly. Man, God, I blew it. I have blown it. You are my only hope, God. And then he says, man, anybody who turns to another way other than God, you are missing it. Those who worship false gods, They turn their back on all the mercies that God wants to offer you and I. When we go chasing after other ways, other avenues, we are turning our backs on all the mercies that God wants to provide for us. And we have to be careful. John 14:6 says this, Jesus told them, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. Listen, brothers and sisters, there is only one way of escape. There is only one who can help us. It's the God of the Bible, right? There is no other alternative. There is no other way of escape. There is no other truth. There is no other life, right? It's only Jesus. I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. And you can only find that in relationship with Him. So I don't know where you're at today, but God is calling out to us. In verse 9, he says, but Jonah comes to his senses and he says this, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Listen, why does God allow that to happen in Jonah's life? Why does it sometimes God allow us to go through such painful experiences in our lives? Because he knows our arrogance. Amen? He knows our pride. And he knows that sometimes the only way for us to actually turn to him and humble ourselves and surrender ourselves to him is to go all the way to the bottom of the ocean, where we absolutely come to an end of ourselves, realizing we have no other hope, no other way. What am I going to do but call to God and rescue me? And God is faithful. And it says, as we learn here in Jonah, that no matter where you call from, no matter what you've done, now you're sitting here and you say, yeah, that may be easy for you to say, but you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. I don't need to know you. I don't need to know what you've done. Because guess what? God knows you. The Bible says he formed you in your mother's womb. He knows the number of hairs or the lack thereof on your head, right? He knows you. And there is no place that you can go apart from him. And even there, God's there. I love that in Psalm 139. Even the darkness isn't dark to you, God. That God pursues us. That God loves us. That when we call upon him, God will hear you and he will rescue you. If you would just humble yourself and call upon his name. And God allows us to go through some of these difficulties strictly because that's the only way we'll actually come to an end of ourselves. I mean, listen, I'm speaking about myself. We are so filled with pride and arrogance in our own abilities that sometimes God has to take our legs out from under us to realize our desperate need for him. As I said a while ago, all of us are sitting here right now, right? Looking, there's nobody unconscious, nobody's blue, right? We're all breathing, our hearts are all beating, completely apart from anything that we can't muster that up, right? You can't do it on your own. God is the only explanation for that. He says that what he does is, in verse 9 is, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise. And with that, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, right? I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord. So what do we do? I don't know where you're at. Maybe you've been running from God. Maybe you know him, like Jonah, but you've been running from him. And I'm not talking about he's calling you to be a preacher. I'm talking about he's just calling you to follow him. He's calling you to lay some things down that are hindering your walk with him. That maybe you just haven't really, you know, oh, I come to church and I know God and I trust him to an extent, but I haven't really given my whole self to him, right? Maybe that's you. Maybe you're here today, you don't even know the Lord. But today's the day, right? Today's the day. Don't harden your heart. But what do? We have to repent. Well, how do we do that? Well, the Bible gives us some examples of how to do that as we close. In the book of Hosea, a couple passages that I want to read. chapter 14, verses 1 and 2 says this, "Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for your sins have brought you down. Bring your confessions and return to the Lord and say to him, 'Forgive all our sins and graciously receive us so that we may offer you our praise.'" If you're here today and you've been running from God, and maybe you've never really fully committed yourself to him, or maybe you've never committed yourself at all to him, today's the day. What do you need to do? You just need to do exactly what Hosea tells us. Return to the Lord your God. Why are you struggling the way you are? He says it. It's because of your sins. Your sins have separated you from the only one who can help you. And it's God. Return to him, and he even tells you what to say. Forgive all our sins and graciously receive us so that we may offer you praise. Back a couple chapters in Hosea chapter 6 is one of my favorite passages. It says this, "Come, let us return to the Lord. Listen to what he says here. He has torn us to pieces, and now he will heal us. He has injured us." Think about what he's done to Jonah, right? He's injured us, and now he will bandage our wounds. Don't you love that? I don't know if you're familiar with Rich Mullins, the singer, but I heard him say one time, Jesus is like the guy who would punch you in the nose and give you a bloody nose, but then give you a ride home on the handlebars of his bicycle, right? And I just love the way he said that. It just struck me, right? And then, you know, you read here in Hosea, it says that he has injured us, but he will bandage our wounds. In just a short time, he will restore us so that we may live in his presence. Just a short time, right? We living in a crazy world right now. A lot of crazy things are happening, things that many of us never thought we'd live to see the day that we live in right now. But Hosea says, just hang on, for in a short time, he's going to restore all things so that we may live in his presence. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know him. Listen, here's the great promise of this verse. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of the dawn, or the coming of the rains in early spring. Listen, when you get up tomorrow morning, I'll challenge you. You know, maybe, I don't know who sleeps in or who doesn't, but get up early tomorrow. Watch the sun come up and let that verse sink back into your heart from Hosea. That God he has come after us like the hound of heaven. He has injured us, but he's going to bandage our wounds. He has torn us to pieces, but he is going to heal us. For in a short time, he's going to deliver us, and we're going to live in his presence forever. And listen, press on to know him. And when you sit there tomorrow morning, you see that sun rise up, remember this verse. He will respond to us as surely as the sun's going to come up tomorrow. Amen? As surely as that sun will rise tomorrow, and it won't be dark, but you'll have light, whether it's cloudy, don't get all technical on me. Well, it's going to be overcast tomorrow. Sun ain't going to shine. It'll be light outside, right? And as surely as God's going to bring light tomorrow morning, he'll respond to you and I if we would call upon him, if we would humble ourselves in his presence. If you are far from God right now, if you would come and bow in his presence, listen, you don't have to come up here and do it, but there's something powerful that happens when we do it in the presence of the body of Christ. But if you'd humble yourself and receive him and call upon him, confess your sins to him, God will respond to you and I, just like he did to Jonah. Jonah blew it, man. But in the midst of blowing it, the hound of heaven was released on him, and he realized how bad he messed up. And then he called out to God, and God didn't say, nope, I asked you to do something, and you didn't do it. Nope, I'm not doing it. Nope. No, God came to his rescue. Back in Jonah, it says that in the end of chapter 1, now the Lord had arranged. Listen, even before Jonah prayed, the Lord had arranged a fish to rescue Jonah. That's good news. And the Lord has provided for you and I a rescue. His name is Jesus, his son. You could bow at the cross and humble yourself at the cross and confess that he took your sin upon the cross. He took my sin upon the cross so that we could be forgiven, so that you and I could have a right relationship with God, so that that relationship that has been broken can be restored. But it requires you and I to do something, to humble ourselves in His presence, to admit that we don't have it all together, to confess that we need Him. So if you're here today and that's you, please do not harden your hearts as they did in the Old Testament, but respond to the Lord today. If you've been running from God and that's you, then just come and bow in His presence, confess your sins to Him, and ask Him to strengthen you. Amen? We serve an awesome God. And I just want everybody, right, to know that. I want you to know that. And I want you to have the complete assurance that if tonight you laid your head on the pillow and you breathe that last time before you fall asleep, that if you woke up in the morning and the first breath you took was in heaven, that's what I want, right? I don't want any of us to be uncertain about where we're going. That's our call as followers of Christ. That was the call of God to Jonah. I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to make sure that they know that there's redemption for them, there's hope for them, that they can be with me forever. And I want that for you, and I want you to have that for the people that you love and for the people that I love and care about. And so don't let anything, don't let fear or anything else stand in your way today. Amen? Let's pray real quick, and then we're going to sing. Father God, I just thank You for Your word. Lord, if there's people here today who have been running from You, God, would you just do business with them right now? Lord, if there's people here that don't know You as their Lord and Savior, God, would You do what only You can do right now, God, in their hearts? That, God, that they would have full assurance of the love of God and full assurance that they have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus of their sins, Lord. That they might know that if today was their last day on earth, that they would spend eternity with You in heaven. So I pray for them, Lord. I pray that if there's business that needs to be done at these altars this morning, that, God, You would draw people down and You would minister to their hearts, Lord. We just want to close today by worshiping You, by praising You, by lifting up high the name of Jesus and humbling ourselves in Your presence. God, You are awesome. And we just thank You for Your grace and Your mercy and Your unfailing love to us. May You be glorified, Lord. And all God's people said, amen.